Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, t-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's MerchMonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Hello and welcome to episode 61 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. I'm joined once again by Sean Smith of Turtle Sarsfields and Kevin Ryan of St. Mary's. This week we're going to have a look back at the games that were on last weekend, Loughmore and Killinall in the preliminary of the senior, Moneygall and Capwhite in the intermediate preliminary, and the relegation battles as well as the under 19 final. Sean, we'll start with you in the stadium Friday night. Killinall and Loughmore went as expected. We said it last week, we weren't expecting anything other than a Loughmore win, but maybe a bit more of a Killinall fight.
Yeah, we're kind of saying maybe Killinall come in with kind of a not to lose attitude. It's going to go, have a hammer and tongs go at, but to be honest, it's over after the first quarter. Loughmore cruised the victory in the end. Like, but it's hard to know, like, what did that game do for Loughmore? Not a whole lot. They came out of it unscathed anyway, but other than that, it was kind of a case of, is it kind of show up now as in, I know everyone's on about divisions and they're great and we're mid-champions and that, but like, you know, are they kind of getting a hindrance then for the team that's thrown against them and poor Loughmore? No, but they won in the end, but was it when it worth happening to either team? Killinall are going to die in the Seamus rain for sure, and that's what their goal is on here.
Yeah, Kevin, I don't think the game probably would have taken much out of Loughmore, really. They probably would have had a harder training session
definitely not on the surface of it, but you know, a game like that, it does take a toll. You are still getting yourself up for the battle, even if it doesn't happen. You know, especially a Friday night game, you might have lads kind of getting off work early and the rest of it as well. You do have to psych yourself up to go into battle, even as Sean said, it was probably over as a contest, you know, certainly by half time, but probably after 10-15 minutes. I think that Loughmore, we were saying it last week, you know, that of course it had to be Loughmore taken out of it for the preliminary round. Games do take their toll, I think, and you know, it waits to be seen now over the next, you know, this weekend. You know, are they a little bit flat or can they get themselves up for another battle?
Yes, they won it handy, as you said. John McGrath and Noel both got goals, and I suppose the John McGrath goal was what finished it as a contest. I think that made it 1-9-2 or 1-9-3 at the time. But they were able to bring like Ed Connolly off the bench, who was played with the county, I think, you know, and it's they're a serious outfit, aren't they? And like Brian McGrath was very unlucky for not to have a goal as well. He was put through, I think, by Noel, you know. It's they're a serious outfit.
Yeah, the three McGraths were 2-4. You know, yeah, just, I mean, talk about, you know, the recognition of county honours on their team is just, it's all show their team. They are a serious outfit.
Yeah. Absolutely. The other game on in the preliminaries went a similar way. Cap White and Moneygall, another double digit loss for the boys from the West.
The master plan didn't work out, so Mike, no.
Damn. Yeah, it's just all gone. It's all gone pear shaped on us now. And
the CCC brief, I think that the whole intermediate championship won't be held up.
But just to take you up on your point, Sean, about the divisions, the two preliminary games weren't an advertisement for divisional winners coming in at a preliminary round anyway. Maybe if Killinall were, but then they wouldn't have been in that position because they qualified into Seamus Arene. So, but certainly coming in at Dan Breen level didn't do them any favours.
Do you feel, Mike, now, like that not even being close to Moneygall, is that going to kill you now in the relegation battle, like performance wise?
Probably did us more harm than good. Going into especially when there's only the whatever 5 or 6 days break, it wasn't good. We are carrying a lot of injuries, whether they'll be back this weekend or not, it's neither here nor there. Moneygall scored 422. Sean Kennelly, Joe Fogarty, who we spoke about many times on this podcast. It was my first time seeing Kennelly live, and he was very, very good. And it'll take a very good cornerback to hold him. Fogarty then is very effective on around the half forward line. And Moneygall are just a very, very well drilled team. And Shane Connolly from Nina has trained them, and they're very good. They'll take a lot of beating in this championship. Anyway, moving swiftly along from that, we won't spend too long on that one.
Yeah, I just have to pull you up on that. Whatever excuse Killinall have going up a division to play a team, you know, you're there with the poor cap of white mouth saying, oh, the division league doesn't work. It was just a bad performance, I think, there. And good chance to rectify the weekend.
I'm not making any excuses at all. We've been poor all championship, Kevin. Bare the first half against Drum, where we went into the halftime 8 points up, and after that it's been a shit show. we lost that one by 2 or 3 points. We went out against Ballinahinch. It was our Borsakane. It was a double digit loss in a game that meant nothing against mine. It was another double digit loss, and in a preliminary quarterfinal, it's a double digit loss. So I mean, we're not in a good place going into the Mile Rovers game, and they were very unlucky. Not to qualify. I mean, at one point they were qualified, and then Golden got another couple of points and won by 6 and qualified, and they went up into second, and next thing Mile Rovers are on the bottom. So we did meet them at the same stage last year and won. I suppose the first half was close, but we won convincingly. I think there was 10 points in it at the end, but I certainly don't see anything like that at the weekend, considering. And last year, even when we played them, the football, they were in the midst of the football, my Rovers, whereas for this they've had 2 weeks to get ready for it. You know, the football quarterfinals aren't on till Sunday week or whatever. So I honestly couldn't see. I wouldn't be surprised if we won, but if we lost, it wouldn't be a surprise either, the way things are going, you know.
Yeah, it'll be close. I think, as you said, there's a lot in my Rovers' favour that, you know, they can turn it on in the day. They ran Ballingarry very close, I think, in the south. So they do that.
I mean, they beat Golden 18-16 in the group stages, and I mean, we struggled. Or Sean was at that game as well. We struggled over Golden in the West final. It went to injury time of extra time before we got the winner. But I don't know. Relegation games, as we all know, take on a kind of a life of their own, don't they? Yeah, you just kind of want a performance. You just want to win and get out of there and get to the pub. Like, that's what you know. speaking of relegation games, the two Dan Breen relegation games went ahead at the weekend. Mike Harkey and Ros Gray. Sean, Mike Harkey, the mid-team, they got the win there up in Templemore. I think got a very fortuitous goal early in the game with the ball skidding off the AstroTurf into the net, which I think sparked a bit of controversy about the use of AstroTurf in goals.
Yeah, for sure. It came from the opposite end of the field as well. The ball has bounced, but the goals in Templemore, but that's known. Like, we scored, Power scored more goals against Loughmore there back 7 or 8 years ago. He just hit the ball to the ground, used it to his advantage. Like other teams can use it if they want to. Like you can get out.
What do you mean, why was Pat Bourke Hurling Junior? Sure, your seniors play nowhere only the stadium.
No, that was against Loughmore in 2010 mid final. I don't know when it was, long time ago, 12 maybe. But he scored 6-7 goals that day and he just hit the ground. But like other teams, we use it, we're playing
the same AstroTurf.
Yeah, we just use it. Like, you can use it to your advantage. Like, I found the goalies to play there and say, like, it's leak, it's dangerous.
It must be a nightmare for goalies.
Yeah, just to like maybe people haven't seen it out there. It's like a catwalk, comes right the way out. I mean, there's AstroTurf. And then there's the Temple Moor AstroTurf, which is an absolute, you know, skating rink.
It's not the 3D kind of stuff. It's literally, yeah, like you see in a hockey AstroTurf. It's real light. It's gone down to not, it's like line off right. All the work. Yeah, that's how you describe it.
Yeah,
but like it's that, and that goes there. The other problems that go is it's town in anyway, like, because it's so close. You can walk in off the park, and England's using it. The goals were missed. So this came in and hasn't been maintained, but it's a talking point. But again, it's Ross Gray are always thereabouts. It can never get over the line. You see it over the last number of years. In fairness to McCarthy, they did a good mid-championship, you know. Yeah. Two big scalps, and they probably, overall in the year, probably deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah, as you said, Ross Gray, they just can't seem to buy a win in Dan Breen the last couple of years. I think the only game they've won in 2 years is the relegation semi-final last year or something. That's the only game they've won. And they've been
even if you write down how many games they're ahead, yeah, if you write down how many games they're winning by well and then lost or drew in the end, like it's outrageous. Like.
Yeah, I know Nina weren't going well this year, but this like they'd still be a serious outfit. And Ross Gray put up 26 points against them, and you know, at that serious scoring and to be involved in a relegation final, it must be tough for them with that kind of bit of underage success. But then the same would have been said of Mike Harkey, who have had underage success, and if they were in it, it would have been a disappointment. But the other semi-final of that was Erog and Holy Cross, which went to extra time in penalty. We called that, I think, last weekend that we couldn't pick a winner of it, and so it turned out. Kevin, do you know anything about were you?
Yeah, I suppose just maybe a general point first. We're talking about the same 4 or 5 teams that are, you know, in relegation from Dan Breen the whole time. I think that's just about their level. It's a very hard competition to crack and to get up into the quarter finals. But you know, Mike Harkey, Ross, you know, your Ross Grays, your Airog, Holy Cross thing actually came up from the Oireann just a couple of years ago and it might have been in relegation. Again, yeah, we said it'd be a close game again, but just from reading the report on it, I wasn't added now that Dara Woods, Kyle Barrett to the fore for I think Jack Ryan as well for Holy Cross. Just probably almost on true, but you know, Airog, the bit of nous has come true, and it's, you know, they're seasoned campaigners at this level of relegation, and I think they're in it last year as well, but they just keep on doing enough to keep their head above water. Maybe they'd be better off, I suppose, a year or two in the Oireann and, you know, being the team to beat for a couple of years, but I suppose, yeah, that's why it'll be another close game the weekend.
Yeah, I suppose they were very close to being in a quarter final. You know, that was that group that came down to one or two.
Or is Enda's Tony Vara got fucking hammered? Yeah. Done Holy Cross then. You know, that's Enda's not here tonight because he's too afraid to show his face. You know.
But,
they lost that game. It's their own fault against Clonmel. Yeah. I mean, flying at the whole game, they lost it. So
Holy Cross lost that game rather than Clonmel. Oh yeah, that day, you know. But I don't know what report or who wrote the report. I thought Kyle Barrett was very disappointing now at the weekend. He spent a lot of his time in the half forward line and very ineffective. But I would say he showed balls of steel to stand over the penalty, which was like 7 minutes into injury time, and scored it to send the game to extra time. A rather dubious penalty, I will say. I couldn't see where the penalty was, but I suppose at that time, with 3 points in it, the referee was always going to give something if he thought he saw something at that end, at that time of the game. But Barrett had a very good extra time then. I think he scored the first 2 points in extra time, and actually Holy Cross looked like they were going to win it. But as you said, Airog just know how they just stay there. They're you know, you don't get a good lead on them at all. And Conor O'Brien went off injured, and they were able to put Paul Devlin back into full back, and came out with every ball that was there. Mooney brought off as good a save as you'd see in Championship this year. Long ball in, full forward, snapped it, and he was in. And from 3 yards, he got his body in the way. And
that was Aidan Stakeland full forward. That was a big lad, white helmet.
Big, tall guy. Yeah.
He doesn't miss usually. He's too fair.
And Tom Fox is to the fore, was he? For
I thought Tom Fox was excellent, and Brian Fox, two guys you would have picked out beforehand, but. They really showed their class. Tom showed his class all through. Brian then at the end came out with the two high balls into square. Brian Fox's hand is up, he grabs them, and the game is over, you know. But poor old Dinny Ferrum come in the Holy Cross goal, spilled one out in front of Dinny Cross for the goal, I suppose, which won it. Maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes from the end, and kind of an uncharacteristic mistake from Dinny, who's a very good keeper, but I'd say maybe the sun was in his eyes or whatever, but he just happened to spill it out in front of him, and your man tipped it in like he was like a scuttery goal. But I mean, at that time of the day, it was fucking goals to Aero, and they tacked on a point or two to win it. Mooney actually finished with 1-3 in the game. He also scored a penalty and 3 long range fees. So he's doing serious scoring for a rogue in the Championship. The other relegation game, lads, at the weekend was Arval Rovers and Ballybacon. No, we're not going to spend too much time on this for reasons outside my control. Anyway,
it's gone for review. We put it that way. It's passed on.
It's for review, is right. That game finished the draw, and finished the draw after extra time. And went to penalties.
Didn't finish 0-0, did it?
Yeah.
Cummins 10 points, I think, just to highlight.
Cummins finished with 10 points and saved 3 penalties. I think he missed his own penalty, actually. Mm-hmm. But he scored 1 from play, and I'm trying to figure out how he got 1 from play. He must have taken a sharp poke out and took the return and launched it, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But like,
sometimes he takes about 7 or 8 of them, like, you know, one goes over, he's a hero or whatever. 47 or 8 goes over the end line, like.
But I mean, Jesus, 46 years old, 10 points, and saved 3 penalties. And there's a great picture, I don't know, did you see it going around? A great picture of him with the Arval Rovers goalie. The Arval goalie's line.
Might regret that now, though.
Yeah. Well, so it looks like there's an objection going in. Very technical one. Be interesting to see how it plays out over the next week or two. So we won't go away from the big game of the weekend, which was the county final. Sean Smith has his arms in the air.
The minnows, the St. Mary's put their pins to their collar. All right.
Yeah, Kevin is looking to know if Paddy Creedon has returned out of Owen McCarthy's pocket. There's all this talk about Paddy Creedon. He only scored a point from play, but I think he was very well marked. But lads, the report, I wasn't at it, but the reports I saw were that Sayers were in control but weren't able to pull away. Mary's kept at it. And if they'd have got a goal, it would have really put the cat amongst the pigeons, but just couldn't seem to get it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way. We're very dogged. Sarah's got it, you know, Mary's got the first score of the game, but after that, kind of Sarah's were constantly probably, you know, a point or two ahead for, you know, duration of the game and pulled away at the very end. Then we needed a goal to really make a game, but put us back into it. We had missed a few frees, I think, in the third quarter, probably proved a bit costly, but you know, fair play to Sars. As I said, we probably tied down Paddy Greedon. That part of the game plan definitely worked. But, you know, when your players, the likes of McCormack there, and just looking at the Tommy Maher, excellent as well for Sars. It's hard to keep them all quiet. And they just got their scores that bit easier. Probably the few natural forwards. Maybe just a party political broadcast while I'm here. You know, we are playing these games a bit, you know, with one hand tied behind our backs, because all the Turles lads are coming for 5 or 6 years of Harty Cup hurling. And, you know, I think we really need a strong school in South Tipperary to bring our hurling on. I think would really make a difference there. The high school has 700 pupils concentrated in hurling, and the Tip County Board, then I think a GDA for Clonmel, the Clonmel area. But, you know, it's almost an untapped resource there in terms of potential if we want to see Tip winning All-Irelands in the next few years. That's what we need to do.
To be fair, Kevin, like, we going in, like, as I said it there, if we score on the pod here, like, Mary's over the years, they're all strong, like, we had to go in and play our best game, and Mary has the plans, their physical, hurling was good, you say, maybe missing one, maybe two forwards, or clinical, you're kind of playing players maybe to cover other spots. But, like, we only pulled away in the end, we just couldn't get that kind of comfort cushion. But first half, tit for tat, a few frees missed. Tommy was excellent frees for us, to be fair to him, like, no, which is different. The ref gave frees to both sides that I don't know what they're for, to be honest, at one point. Like, he was a bit erratic, you know, but that's Dave Ryan, that's how he is, like, you know. And one thing we know, no keeper kind of made a save, really, which kind of...
No, just saying that. I was saying just on Saturday evening, couldn't believe Adam Brannigan that he didn't have a save to make, and the third of Sarsfield's keeper as well. You know, it wasn't expecting coming up at all.
It showed kind of defending was excellent from both sides then, you know. It was, I know they were giving me a freeze and that, but they weren't getting shots away and goals. So that's kind of great, like, from that point of view. It was great to win it, but Liam McCormack was exhibition for us, to be honest. He was... His speed, he won the ball there in the second half. He had no right to block down your cornerback coming out.
Yeah.
He ran 50 yards across the field, blocking down. And if it went over the bar, it would have been viral, to be honest, but it didn't.
Yeah, it's exceptional. And he got a lovely point, I think, over the stand side as well in the first half. I think it was excellent. You know,
Manny, that team young, Kevin, going forward, like, what kind of age group are they?
Yeah, we're only missing a couple off the, you know, off out of it next year. And there's a good few under 17, like, arguably some of our best players, Tai Chi and that under 17s, you know, so there's a good future there. Out of that team for us, you know, we've other lads. Most of that team is under 19 again next year. I'm looking down through it. I think Ty Condon, centre back, who was excellent on Saturday, he might be overage. Owen McCarthy, I'm not sure on. Cahill Deely, the captain, I think he's there next year.
How did Peter McGarry go? Kevin, how did you think Peter McGarry went to
I'm a big fan of Peter, so, you know, very good. Probably. Just had to move him about into the forwards, maybe, or have him spend a bit more time in the full forward line, a bit more than I would have liked, just because to try and get the goal to bring us back into the game. But, you know, he was very lively out the field as well. You're pardon the pun now again, robbing Peter to pay Paul in.
Yeah.
And then we kind of did
that's the difference.
Yeah. And we done kind of a role then, even the same Paddy when Peter went in full forward, we lad in front of him again. So just kind of tacked his ball team. And even Peter, he picked off a few scores when he went out to take a free. The free may go wide or miss, and he won the break of ball coming out, you know. So his clever reading the game was exceptional. Like, to be fair to him, he's a good talent. Like,
yeah, no, Sarsfield is a bit to wrap up. Very, very good team, very impressed. But worthy winners, I think, you know.
Yeah, Sean, obviously, we all know about Paddy Creedon, and he's hurling away with your seniors. Is there anyone else on that team hurling senior at the moment, or?
Dara Stakelin be coming on, himself and Paddy kind of swap in the corner forward position there. He was centre forward again. Well, Marshall, to be honest, they had the work done on him. Dara only got into the game near the end when he kind of went back as kind of a cover midfield centre back. Liam McCormack's on our own team. James Armstrong is there, centre back. He's an exceptional hurler. The further backs then are on it. But, you know, there's a good mix there of lads playing different levels. Both 7 or 8 and one to play junior A as well, and subs in the Oireann team. So,
yeah, and Kevin, we all know about Peter McGarry and Young Deely, and obviously Owen McCarthy seems to have come to the fore after his weekend. But is there anyone else on that team that you can see making a big impact for your Seamus Oireann team?
I think James Morris has started on our Oireann team, you know, to date. James, again, you know, big hardy young for that kind of wing back there, and, you know, has a very good future ahead of him. If they weren't on starting on that Oireann team, a lot of that team is also playing junior A as well. So just an under 17 as well, Rory Lahey, so he'd be one to watch next year, over the next couple of years as well. And Ty Sheehan, as I mentioned already, has another under 17 there, you know, did very well and was well up to the standard there.
Yeah, very good. It was a good weekend for Turles Sarsfields or Durles Óg as well, Sean, with the 13 county final win and getting to the semi-final of the 17 with a hard fought win over the Swan.
Yeah, like, geez, that Swan game, I wasn't that, and I wonder why he's that in the ring. I mean, he said, geez, Durles Óg flying here, and then half time. And second half, your mind was, Jesus, we've stopped hurling. They're lying on freeze to get over the bar, and Swans just came out. And it was a strange game, but they're kind of games, and they're kind of that far ahead, younger lads, what to do to kind of switch off a bit. But we got over the line then, but missing Darren Minogue there is probably County minor forward, who also missed off 19 team. I don't know what situation he is waiting on results to come back, so he might feature at all this year. But they're another game, any and 13 is a good win over Burris, but that's tit for tat as well. That Burris team is exceptional as well, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I was surprised. Obviously, Doris Oak bit loud out of us in the 13, but we'd played Boris Lee a couple of times and always found them quite good. And I was surprised they were ahead, I think, Boris Lee at half time. But
yeah.
I think they only scored 1 point in the second half, and your lads took over. Some excellent hurlers on that 13 team. So you're coming again. You'll be there for 10 years underage, anyway, that's for sure. So lads, we'll move on to the quarterfinals, which go ahead this weekend. We'll start Friday night in the stadium, Kevin, Mulnahone and Boris Lee. I think we've already said, we're all a little bit surprised that Mulnahone topped the group, but their prize for topping the group is Boris Lee, a very tough draw for them, not that any of them would be easy at this stage, but the way Mulnahone have been playing, they certainly won't be afraid of going up against Boris Lee.
Yeah, the closer this one gets, the more I think, you know, I'm looking at the four games, I'm certain that there'll be a shock or surprise in one of them. And I'm just thinking, you know, do Mulnahone, the three Currans, couple of O'Shea's, obviously on Kelly will take, you know, up full forward. You know, it's they'll battle the whole way in this one. And I just wonder, you know, could they cause a bit of a surprise? My thoughts, you know, Boris obviously have done it all over the last few years, and you know, in terms of going, you know, even in the Munster as well. But yeah, something niggling at me that I just give Mulnahone a chance in this one.
Yeah, I suppose a big thing with, while Boris Lee do have good hurlers, if the thing isn't going well for them, they normally will send one of the Kennys into full forward and they'll land ball in on top of them. But I couldn't see them getting any change out of Paul Curran with his experience, you know, on that kind of a tactic. So if Mulnahone can stay with them, and they'd certainly trouble them down the stretch, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Alan Curran and Sean Curran will be the other two Currans, Sean especially at this level, you know, in Semple Stadium, I think. You know, he has the ability to light up occasions like this as well, and they will need, Mulnahone will need him to, and, you know, as well, their other scoring forwards as well. But as you said, you wouldn't be surprised if Boris Lee just kind of come and win this one by 10 points or so. But just, you know, the two Kennys as well, the Cormacs, JD Devaney, and, you know, obviously Brendan Maher as well. Like, they, I think, you know, we're blessed, I think, this weekend in Tip, because the four games, you know, in the Danbury, they're all crackers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That one goes ahead Friday night at 7:30 in the stadium. I think that's on Tip TV, so that'd be one to watch. Sean, you're on RT 3 o'clock prime time, 3 o'clock on Saturday against old rivals Clonolty. Clonolty maybe not going as well as other years, but still won the West final, qualified second. They like to play in the stadium, I suppose, which they have players that like the big time. They'll while you're probably going to be favourites, it's still a tough draw for you.
Kind of as Phil had saying during the week, this when the hurling starts now. I know it's win their group games, that this is the shit or bust kind of Clonolty odds over the years. They're a hard team. They'll hit you. They'll do everything they can to stop the hurling. Like, the ground is gone soft. There's no two ways about that. Like, it's not summer hurling now anymore. So the ball won't be flying off, and our fast forwards, as I say, like, mightn't have it. But we'll have to hurl to our potential to win it. Like, that's what we have to keep doing. There's no point in showing up like we did last year against Nina and fucking game's over. Oh, I'm watching and going mad, fucking looking at TV. Like, that shit can't happen again. Like, you know, I have to. But look a bit different this year. They kind of seem to be glued in a bit more. So, but as you say, they're going to be a shock somewhere, as Kevin said. I don't know where it's going to be, but there will be. The games are too obvious for the favour, so there's coming some kind of upset or something, and maybe the whole thing of being on TV, you know, they may raise it again. But even against Castlelay, I saw them in the West, Mike, it's hard to know where they're at. That was a game, they're probably in control the whole way. They're winning out the middle of the field, slapping points over for sport. You know, they look in cruise control that day. And in a group, I know they're up and down. They got through in the end, but hopefully we can come to the fore, and which probably the same team lined out again with no changes, to be honest.
Yeah, I suppose as a Turles fan looking at Clonolty, you would say Dylan Quirk obviously is probably their marquee name now. He's on the county panel. Do you man mark Dylan? Would say, like, will Ronan pick him up, or if he's drifting out to the wing, would you be happy enough for Jack Derby to stay on him?
It depends. Like, if Joseph Ryan can do a job there, DC can do a job. Like, the backs there, if you put Mikhail back on him, it depends where he starts. But, like, we've our forward backs are kind of decent, to be honest. Like, I don't mind any of American, to be honest. And, like, the thing is, if most teams are kind of play stars, kind of even sweeper these days, and like end up rolling and being free or power being free, which is, I can never understand it, to be honest. It makes no sense, like, you know, but it's going to be in for this in the hurling stars. So if up performance to go from there and not do what I did last year, that's the main thing, or else I'd be fucking sickened.
Yeah, Kevin, can you see this one going any other way than a Thurles win, or would you give Tenolty a fighting chance?
Yeah, you know, look, I suppose any game in the stadium quarterfinal, the correct game plan, you know, if things work out from Sarsfield that bit off, they'll have a chance. But, you know, I think this Sarsfield team, even if they're, you know, 45 minutes if they're under the cosh, I think they'll still find a way against Clonalty this year. I think there's something about them, as Sean said, that, you know, they're burned a bit by Nina last year and they don't want to, they look like a team on a mission. And I maybe don't think that this Clonalty team hurling the way they are this year have the firepower.
I agree with you. Cathal Bourke is obviously a big loss for them. He's hurt his knee and he's out all year. But Timmy Hammersley is still knocking around and still kind of good for 10 or 11 points a game with freeze. And he if the ball isn't coming in, he'll come out and he'll get on it. I mean, he'll probably one you'll need to watch on, I suppose, when he comes out around the field looking for it, won't you?
Yeah, and he always makes noose of himself. He'd be giving out to the ref, complaining. You know, he makes himself known, and that presence alone, even over the years, he'd deny one of our backs go out then and pop over 3 points in play because he pissed around off so much. Like, you know, it's kind of, he's that kind of player, and it works for him. Like, you know, that's the way he is. Like, and he's going to slap points over, but like, it's going to be, going to have to hurl. Like, we need to hurl. Like, we have all year. There's no point in going out and fucking not showing up. Like, our forwards, again, like Matty Creed mentioned earlier, like, you know, but St. Mary's have done a job on him. Like, we can all, you know, try something similar inside there and match him, but then you've Dennis Murray and Cormac, you know, either side again, so it's hard to know.
That's the other side of it, Kevin, when you look at the Sarres forwards, and they, I think they've kind of been playing a two-man full forward line with Dennis and Paddy inside, and it's that outlet. The two boys are obviously able to hurl as well as kind of be standing under a dropping ball, but Tenolty play a young fullback in Robert Doyle. He was very good for the minors last year. But I mean, this is going to be a serious test for him up against these two huge men, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And especially the space of the stadium as well. You know, that bit extra that's in your head as a player. You know, the spaces in front of you will seem that bit more. You know, if Sarsfield can isolate him, maybe. And yeah, you know, thinking again of Tenolty, maybe they are a step up on what Sarsfield have taste this year so far a little bit, or they have the potential to be a step up, but for me, Sarsfield by at least 5 or 6.
So that game is on at 3 o'clock. It's live on RTE. The second game of that double header, which goes ahead at 5 o'clock again on RTE, but for me is the game of the weekend, that is Killaran and Loughmore. Killaran, who played very well in their league stages, top their group, and coming up against the Loughmore team that finished second to Killadangan after losing to him by a point.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd take that. Absolutely. Wardy, you know, maybe thought that they were maybe over the top as a team, but looking down through their team, like Jerry Cal, Craig Morgan, Harlan, excellently, Kian Darcy, Seamus Hennessy, said maybe about Timmy Hammersley rolling back to years, but I think Seamus Hennessy is another, you know, excellent club player. And it's great that this game is on RTE and everyone has a chance to see it now, because it's two of the top club teams in Tipperary going to just go hammer and tongs at it. It's just going to be exceptional. So many subplots to it as well. Kilran top in their group, and, you know, you come out against Loughmore as well. It's probably the bum draw to come out against, you know, at any stage. But yeah, as I said, Loughmore are a fine team. We probably discussed them already, but their facile win against Killinall, probably, as Sean said, hasn't taken anything out of them. And yeah, it's just going to be a cracker.
As you said, Craig Morgan, obviously in the North final, he was absolutely brilliant for them and did his best to drag them over the line. But they have some good, Keane O'Kelly's hurling very well for them for them in the forwards. He's an outlet for them on the puck out or from general play. So I think they'll come very close. It's an intriguing game. And there's so many good players on both sides. It'll be interesting to see how they line up and what the matchups are. Likes of Brian McGrath probably picking up O'Kelly and trying to stop him winning that long ball into the half forward line.
Yeah, Jerome Cal maybe on Noel or John maybe, or you know, yeah, there's so many. You have to get your matchups right, but
it's nearly impossible to mark the Loughmore lads. Like Noel and John, like we've tried over here as man marking them. It's an ordeal. Like you're literally broken up after match, like, and they still pop over 5 or 6 points.
Yeah,
this could be a pure hurling game. I think this could be an OS style game where both teams are going to go hammer and tongs at, to be fair. Like,
yeah,
from what we've seen so far with both teams, we're going to have one big draw in the quarterfinals with Loughmore in it, and this is what we got. Like, and I think it's going to be an exceptional game, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you. I think it has the makings of the game of the weekend. And as Kevin said, I'm delighted to see that it's on RTE because it really will showcase the Tip Club Championship for what it is, and a very exciting weekend in store. The fourth and final quarterfinal of the weekend, lads, sees county champions Kildangan getting primetime Sunday, and they're up against Upper Church, who are making the quarterfinal for the first time in quite a while. The Church will be buoyant after qualifying, but will they have enough to see Kildangan off, Sean?
No, unlikely, to be honest. Like, they want to Mull Lahone. Like, that's the draw they wanted, to be honest. They got kind of a tough draw in football and the hurling. They're kind of looking at it now going, what the hell? But, like, I know it's quarter-final stage and that, but still, like it's hard to know. Kildangan are one of the kingpins at the moment, up there, the best. There's no two ways. Like, Upper Church, I know they got through, literally lucky enough, last minute point, lose by 10 instead of 11. They'll have to up their game on what I saw this year to beat this Kildangan team, but it's going to be a shock. But I can't see this being a shock. I think Kildangan here now are going to win this 7 or 8 points.
Maybe Kildangan aren't going full tilt yet, I think, going under results. But, you know, it only takes one performance in the quarterfinal, and suddenly again, they're the team to beat, you know, surpassing Sarah's. But for me, I think Kildangan probably have an extra gear to go to get to the heights where they were last summer. Yeah, but still, you know, Upper Church, I think another team, the narrative is there to give it a go 45, 50 minutes max, but then Kildangan's class and, you know, eat their bench if they need to go to it, it'll see them through.
Yeah, it's hard to know for Kildangan, that group. Like, you know, they kind of got through it, came top, they won their 3 games. Like, winning the first game against Loughmore was the game, that's a cracking game. I know, like, get the point over there and it's a matter just kind of going through, not the motion, but, you know, it would have been expected to beat Brackens and McCarthy.
Yeah.
So now exactly. They're regrouping again and going into this, and I think they'll up it again. Again, as you said, if gears left them, for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say there, that's like, we said the 2-week break between the last round and the quarter final. Do you think teams will have kind of regrouped, the likes of Borsalee and Kildangan, who probably, I suppose, look, limped through the group stages. I mean, even in one or two of the games, Borsalee didn't play their full team. You know, they were happy enough, kind of, I'd say, to finish maybe second, knowing that they'd still be in the quarter final. You know,
but the thing with, like, Kildangan is, as you say, Mike, their only real game they had so far. No, they still had to win the other two games, but against Loughmore, that's a long time ago now. Like, it's different hurling than the first game. We said the ground can be soft. We're going to be out conditions for the weekends not to be great. The pitch should be all right in the stadium. I saw someone during the week said that they were worried about 4 games being on there, but the pitch is perfect, they said now. So
yeah, no, and the weather this week obviously has been great. So there's been good drying. So any rain that did fall, it'll be well gone off. But I put you on the spot, Kevin. Can you give me 4 winners in the Dan Breen?
Yeah, 4 favourites. That's all I said. Jeez, pick out. I'll go Kilroyan over Loughmore for, I don't know what you call it, a mini shock, Borsalee, Turles and Kildangan.
Sean, would you concur or would you stay with the mid lads?
I'll go Loughmore over Kilroyan, but this is going to be like It could be a draw. You just pick a draw now, Mike, just to cover our bases here.
I thought Linda wasn't on the podcast.
Can any see, you know, to nail your colours there, can any see, Mike, as well, the other three games, any
of the shots? Maybe. They would say the Friday night game under lights in the stadium if Mulhone come out and Bursley don't get going. But it's hard to know, like, because they're going to need an exceptional performance from the underdogs and a poor performance from the main team. Bursley could be the one, I kind of think, maybe, but... Q Bursley winning now by 15 points for sitting here next week, like fucking ages. Like,
it takes off the Mulhone lads now. Thanks for building them up.
I think
they wouldn't even have 15 for the party. You know, the way they'd be talking during the week, but they'd be knocking on doors before they leave the parish. But 35.
I heard a good story. Talk about bitterness, lads. Last weekend, we had an under 9 tournament here, and Mulhone came up. And it was ourselves and Mulhone are in the final of it. And I think it got a bit rowdy on the sideline and whatever. But Owen Kelly's young fella was playing. And Owen told the lads that we bet them in the 99 under 21 final. Owen was playing. And Owen showed the young fella the match coming up to Cavan White and said they couldn't lose to Cavan White. Talk about bitterness.
Yeah. He's been waiting for this day for
22 years.
Yeah. Who won it? Did they get the revenge?
Yeah, they got the revenge. I think it was a 2-point win. And
what day was that on? I was talking to Owen Kelly and McDonald's after that. I was after Mary's game. He's inside getting our burger and I walked in and he was, I was like, how are we getting on now? Is that an under 9 blitz there? Blowing. It was on in, where was it on?
It was on in Kappa.
And he's going back. The kids were in fucking McDonald's getting the grub. He was.
See, that was the trace. There was no McDonald's unless they won. Like.
They won, exactly. Yeah. We'll move on. That's Seamus O'Rean. So the first game, two of those games on Saturday, Clonakenny and Cashel is in Nina at 1:30. Kevin, you probably know a good bit about the Seamus O'Rean teams. Clonakenny and Cashel finished out well. They topped their group. But this is this won't be easy, is it? Clonakenny are a tough outfit.
Yeah, again, maybe for, you know, definitely if I'm tipping all the favourites in the O'Rean or in the Dan Breen, I give all the outsiders a chance in the...
You're not outsiders at all, Kevin. You're the favourite.
No.
Back there now, will you?
Turtle Sarsfields, you know, the double is definitely on there, and you know, no point even discussing that one. But yeah, Cashel could do that. For me, they're turning into the new, maybe the West version of Killinall. You'll know after 15 minutes or so whether they're in the mood or not. But I heard Dylan Fitzell is back there with them now, maybe to shore up their defense that bit extra. Or
He played junior A last weekend, seemingly hurled very well at centre back, but I find it hard to see Dylan coming into the senior team at this stage. I don't think he probably has enough training.
But I think, you know, if Jar Brown was, again, you know, probably the key to their win over Laura, that sealed them first place with the 5-point margin of victory. I think that, you know, if Jar hurls as he can for Cashel, that he could be the difference. But again, I would be very slow to nail my colours to the mast in any of these games. I haven't seen any of Clonakenny this year, but you know, any team at this stage of the O'Rean has a chance.
Yeah. Oh, I know Cashel are winning this, lads. Seriously. Yeah. Honestly, like, that's intense.
You know, whatever about there being a shock in the Dan Breen, I nearly
I just feel Cashel, on paper,
if the O'Rean was playing on paper, you had Cashel all day, but
the just, paper has to come good someday. Like, they're surely some way a bit better now than they were a couple weeks ago, Cashel.
Well, Cashel are coming good, lads. They won two of the three games in the
They did, yeah. They beat Laura by, they were 2 points up going into injury time, and Laura lost by 11 points to Newport. You know, so I think they can pick holes in.
Yeah. I suppose the one thing it does show, and probably in all the divisions or all the grades, is that the groups of 16 definitely seem to be working, because there's very little between kind of top and bottom in all the levels.
Oh no, and like, I wouldn't have Clonakenny in the last quarterfinals Saturday year, and got the results. But yet we had the groups upside down there in the podcast plans. We had, like, the teams that were in relegation, we had them tipped to win the group. Like, so it is, that's how close is in the real. Like.
Yeah, and even going into the relegation, this with Tracy's winning the weekend, I think it's just very hard to predict. Burgess, you know, probably didn't touch on it from last week. You know, hurling in Dan Breen last year, and now they're, you know, they're a game away from intermediate. So yeah, I couldn't write off Clonakenny in this. Yeah, on cash, probably paper cash that should win, but it's one to keep close an eye. I think this is the first game of the weekend. It's 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Half one on Saturday.
So
the second game then is 3 o'clock Saturday. It's in Templederry, Killinall and Killadangan's second team. Killinall, obviously, they topped their group on 5 points after drawing with the Tracys in round one and winning their other two games. Killadangan were in the SARS group, finished second. He beat them by a goal, was it, Sean?
Yeah, above in Templederry, yeah. And that was a tit-for-tat game. There was both teams, not much between in the end, right? You know, there was small, but they were up there with us, like, the whole way.
Yeah, do you think that the game last weekend, I know you asked me there about us getting the hiding going into the relegation game. Do you think Killinall getting the hiding will affect them going into this game?
I don't think. Well, as you said there, they're kind of a game to not maybe for them. It's like more like the start of the year, Doreen, they want to get up senior, like to win from a position during the Premier quarter final to get to the county final and win it was, well, got a million to one. Like, so this is their goal, like drawing a second team in Killangan, like they're sure to be happy with that. I know Killangan top great performance this year in the group, two second teams did. But like Killinall should be kind of in a prime position now to start peaking and getting through. But again, depends on like will Bubbles show up, like what, like they need their players to show up at Killinall because they're kind of lacking a bit of depth, to be honest.
It could be a very good game. But at the same time, look, I would have said Killinall were at the start of the year, I would have said Killinall were favourites for the whole competition, and now they're on 5 points, but I mean they drew with,
I think
the
they were actually in the book. I think they're up there with, yeah, yeah, I think they were on the top few.
They would have been. I mean, and yeah, would, at the same time, Newport and Laura would have been up there as favourites too.
Templederry were thereabouts as well.
Yeah, in relegation, yeah. So it's very hard to know. And as you said, Killinall will need their big players to step up and put in a performance.
Yeah, again, I'd watch this one for a surprise.
Really?
Just again, maybe sneaking. I think Killdangan, since they actually got up senior, the second team have been constantly underrated and written off. And, you know, they've probably been underdogs in all their games so far. They're very close, to my mind, to the standard of SARS, the second team. So I give them every chance in this game. Yeah.
There's something about the second team, Kevin, that our playing their second team. It doesn't. That's how we kind of got under the radar a few times, you know. And same clang in this year. First round out, thought, oh, we're playing Birds, oh, we're playing their second team. And they got caught in the hop then completely. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very, very good point.
Yeah, the third game then in the third quarter final sees Templederry and Gortnahue, two teams who have been kind of up and down, I suppose, all year. But maybe Gortnahue got their two wins, and the game against Killinall wasn't as important as they were just they were in the quarter finals going into it, so it didn't really did it matter to them finishing top? I suppose has its benefits, but. Templederry have been up and down in the North Championship and in the group stages. How do you see this one going? Sean Ryan is obviously going to be the big threat for Templederry going into this one.
Sean Ryan, exception. Sorry. Sean Ryan there, like he's what he's done so far this year is unbelievable, like from all reports. There's no two ways about it. Like Gortnahue now are in bonus territory, winning intermediate last year and in the quarter final of Doreen. Like that's phenomenal. Like that shows it can be done, like with these teams going up. Like and level that they can get to. But it's going to be a humdinger for sure. There's no Templederry, if the big lads show up, they should have. But Gortnahue are going to go and fight. They're a hardy bunch out in Glengool there. Templederry lads are going home sore if they win this one for sure.
Yep, Templederry should have that bit of class to see him through. But again, wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world if you're, you know, here on Sunday evening that Gortnahue are after winning that one.
So moving on to the big game of the. Of the
most predictable
quarterfinals, a second big meeting in a week for the Sarsfields and St. Mary's. Kevin, we'll go to you first. Sean will say, sure, you're only playing a second team, so
yeah. And sure, look, we're the soft lads from the south, you know, a football club. And as you said, oh, they all, you know, all the other clubs, all, you know, football, and they won't have their eyes in the hurling.
Two soft towny teams, I'll call them. So. Yeah.
Exactly, and he complained about all the yellow cards then on the county final. No, I mean, look, it's great for us to get there. I think we qualified from a very a tough group at the outset. We probably weren't fancy to qualify. I think we're hurling very well you know, this year, you know, probably saved our worst performance for, you know, the last group game against Portro, looking to get through. That's all in the past now. It's going to be very tough. Sires are arguably, you know, the team of the group stages. If take them as their own merits, you know, on their own merits, very good team. If, you know, Sean said earlier that Liam McCormick is playing again, you know, obviously on a high after last Saturday, he'll take some stopping. I think Sarah is a very balanced team. Hopefully we'll be able to keep it poked out to them and, you know, keep it close enough.
Jeez, I love this.
Yeah.
You have tended to play Seamus Kennedy kind of full forward over the group stages, but do you think as time goes on, you might need to bring Seamus kind of out the field and kind of play midfield, half back, where he has been so good for you over the years?
I wouldn't be surprised if Seamus was a bit deeper this week.
Fair enough. That'll do. Not giving anything away. I have to say, I was in New Inn last night watching you train. I could say a few things, but I'm not going to either.
No, that was Rockwell Rovers. That wasn't us.
No, that was ye.
Where was Seamus Kennedy around centre back or full back, was he?
Full back, yeah.
No, I'll tell you off here. I was in New Inn that night watching you train. You were moving very well. As only a team can be when they're coming up to a quarter final. At the same time, Upper Church are actually training in our own place. Lights, obviously, is the reason, but they seem to be going very well. The standard that they're training, James McGrath from Tumi Bear is training and in Sexton. But yeah, I was impressed, I have to say. We were after playing football over there and you were training in New Inn after. Yeah, it was impressive training 4 or 5 nights before a quarter final. But anyway, Sean, the Sayers, how are you fixed going into this weekend? Obviously, St. Mary's quite a good team. Is this a challenge for you? Is it one you've been looking forward to, or one you want to
a challenge? Yeah.
Is there anyone we draw in the quarterfinals going to be up against? We're up against the best of the groups at the moment. Like, against Burge, we're missing 5 lads with injuries. I don't know whether they're going back or not. Having a notion, actually. Mike O'Brien, Conor Lanigan, these lads. But then you James Armstrong in the backs, who played minor, and you make Lisa beside him. Like, that's experience with younger talent like James Armstrong. Then you have like Tommy Doyle is actually out, his shoulder is gone. But then you've experienced John Maher. The forwards kind of depend on Jack Lanigan and Mike Russell and Kevin Dunn. So his lads that have been around the block, winning 3 the county titles, mixed in with younger lads, as I mentioned, like Liam McCormack. But as we expected with Mary, this is going to be the same as a minor game, be tit for tat. Both teams are kind of the same style, I feel. They're kind of two kind of hurling teams. It's going to be kind of where they play their key men. So where will Kennedy line out? Will Rob Peter to pay Paul? But then I kind of see like who, like will Eric Harbour start for us as well? Like he's the lad that has to kind of keep an eye on him, even though he might run around and just do nothing. But you have to watch him as well. Like.
Did you just say Larry Carver will run around and do nothing? Are you going to title the pod again? Larry runs around and does nothing.
He might just be busy. This thing with lads like him, you can come on and let one of their teams will be so obsessed with marking them that they'll try mark them man to man and lose one of the good lads. And you see
that's
those
Seamus by playing cornerback.
Like, you know, yeah.
In the expectation.
In the expectation, yeah.
Larry is the advice.
You might have to order your bombs from the back of Larry's. Don't be going up near the counter, Sean, because after saying that all he does is run around and do nothing. But I'll in the other 3 games, lads, I'll ask you to pin your colours to the mast. Who are going to be the other three semi-finalists in the James Arena? Kevin.
Go on, Sean, fire away first.
Cashel, Kilnall, Sars, and I go Gert and Who there and the other one. Just, you know, I know feeling for him.
Yeah, I'll go for the opposite 4. I shall go Mary's.
Clonakenny.
Yeah, Clonakenny.
Kildangan
B. And geez, who are
Gert Temple Derry?
Yeah, Temple Derry. Yeah, Jesus. On the spot there. Yeah, so there's your There's your tune for you there now.
Right. I wasn't expecting you to say anything else on the Marys and Sarah, so I wasn't even going to ask you about it. But we'll move on to the intermediate quarterfinals, lads, and we won't spend too long on this because I've lost all interest in this competition now.
Knockavilla by 20 points.
So Mainz and Tui in gold, and then first one. Sean, mine obviously they won the mid and they went quite well in the group stages. They drew with Drum, which was, I suppose, was a surprise, but they won their other two games easily enough. And Garota Conor and Conor Bo are both back fully fit now going into the quarterfinals. Golden, who were a semi-finalist 2 years ago, but kind of struggling a little bit with injury, I think, this year with Andy Burns not being fully fit and Jack Leamy not being, I don't think he is actually fit for this weekend. It'll be a surprise, but how do you see it going? Would you see
if you mentioned, like, if Jack Leamy, you said there isn't fully firing, then this is a Mind victory, kind of, on what Mind do. Mind, they're the team that have been thereabouts the last number of years. They're always competitive. This business end, like, when kind of judging goal enough now, and kind of where you're at and where other teams that have played are kind of at, I think Mind will have enough here. They've enough talent on the field. They've younger lads coming through there that are exceptional. Goal and depend a lot on Leamy up front. Like, without him, it's hard to know where the main score is going to come from. There's no one that could step in and score 5, 6, 7 points, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. That's for sure. With especially with Andy not being fit, still carrying that injury from the West final. The second game in that is Saturday at 3:30. Kevin, South team in it, Kilsheelan, who have been blazed the trail through the group stages up against Ballinahinch, finished second in their group. I suppose this is similar to the question maybe I posed in the Dan Breen. Kilsheelan have had 2 weeks to get ready for this with no football distraction, which does tend to come against them in previous years when they go deep into the senior football championship. But can you see anything other than a Kilsheelan victory with the way they've been playing?
With the way they've been playing, I think it is one of the tougher draws to get now in Ballinahinch. I think it'd be very tough. I think, you know, even the fact that Kilsheelan are after drawing Lochmore in the football, which is, you know, a tough draw. You know, it's a great chance for Kilsheelan to make a big dent and make progress into this. By all my sources tell me, it's very hard to get at now to Kilsheelan, you know. Yeah. But you know that they are going very well. There is a big focus on hurling, that's where the focus is this year. As I said, it is probably one of the trickier draws along with the Ballingarry game to get. But yeah, I'd give them a nod in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. The third game in that then is Sunday at 1:30 in Templemore, Ballingarry against Moneygall. Probably the peak of the four quarter finals, with Ballingarry coming down from senior, did very well in their group, and Moneygall then obviously they I suppose surprisingly beaten maybe by Kickhams in a group that you didn't rate. and they obviously had that big win over somebody last weekend. So, but this is a game, this has the makings of a cracker, doesn't it? And it's on in Templemore.
Yeah, it does. I hope that Dan Astrothorpe doesn't play a factor in the result in this, unless it's Ballingarry getting screwed by a late goal. But it's definitely the tighter round. Moneygall coming off, their confidence must be sky high now after their narrow win over Capa White the weekend. Ballingarry said coming down from senior, Dylan Walsh, and well, winning a few games, which they haven't been doing over the last few years. But the pressure's on them big time to get back up senior. You've another very good team coming down. You know, the losers of that Laura game from the Orion. And yeah, Ballingarry, I think I'll give them the nod there because I think they need to win it that bit more.
Yeah, very good. The last game in that quarterfinal, Sean, is Knockavilla Kickhams against Drum and Inch. Drum and Inch may be a surprise packet, I will say. No, we certainly didn't tip them at the start of the year to come out of the group. Did very well in it, actually. They beat us and drew with Mine, so they're going quite well. But Kickhams have won their three games since Cap White beat them in the West semi final, and they're unbeaten and going very well. A very young team, but it'll be an interesting game between the two of them.
Yeah, Drum kind of shocked everyone the first day there, like, come on, but about yourselves there like that, but and then he drew it mine the week after. Like Drummer kind of this year, their seniors didn't go firing at all, but their intermediates are stepping in there, and to have some hurlers that have been around blocks of uncount titles, they know where they're going. But you say Knockville are kind of on a roll as well. Like Drummer need to be exceptional out to win, I think, now the weekend, but at this level you wouldn't know, but they have to go and Knockville, to be honest.
Closest thing to a boy in the quarterfinals, isn't it, for Knockavilla?
It's what?
Closest thing to a boy for Knockavilla.
Just shot fire. Well, considering you thought that that was the worst group in it, like you're
the handiest draw in the quarterfinals.
You'll have serious egg on your face next weekend when you come on this podcast, and both Moneygall and Tickham's, who came out of the worst group ever in intermediate hurling, are both in the semi-final.
Well, I expect the Kickums to be there because they're after landing the handiest quarter final. You know, to be perfectly honest, but
yeah, so they should be four very good games in the quarterfinals of the intermediate championship. All those games going ahead this weekend as well. And what we forgot to mention earlier on, lads, our talk about was the two Seamus O'Rean relegation games that went ahead. Tracy's had a very good win at the weekend, and then Newport had I won't say an easy win, but I think they won by 6 or 7, finishing up against Laura. Kevin, Seamus O'Rean.
Yeah, did Newport win by 11?
Oh, it was at 11, yeah.
I think it might have just really, really pulled away. I'm just remembering in that one, but yeah, great win for Tracy's on the West. Great win, no. You know, they're the old dog for the hard road there.
Yeah, and like as you mentioned earlier, Burgess coming down, they're staring a second relegation in the face, when you come down, you have to be ready for it, don't you? Because it's just a battle. No matter what grade you fall to, it's a battle when you come.
But
down.
I'd love, you know, I'd love to do a study of this, or if anyone's out, anyone wants to do a PhD. But the double relegations in Tip, you know, they're. Like Borland a few years ago, Cashel, Ballybacon definitely went down junior A, you know, all in quick succession going from senior to, you know, two grades down. Now you probably have the O'Rean, if you like, as the kind of the first cushion down. But, you know, there is sometimes a trend for teams not getting together and going down twice.
It certainly is. It's a tough one for them. Like, obviously, they're a proud club. And I mean, they were only relegated. I think there was only, did Airoge only beat them by a point or 2 points in the relegation final last year? And here they are now staring a relegation. And like that game actually isn't on this weekend. I don't think it's on for 2 weeks. So Laura will potentially have whatever injuries they have back. Now, I mean, Stephen Murray hasn't been firing for Burgess, even though he's been playing, but he certainly hasn't been fully fit. But if Laura can get their players back, like Laura, as we said at the start of the year, we put them up there as favourites for one of the favourites for the competition, and now they're in relegation. So
and you know, I don't know why that game isn't until the 31st. I think it is
Not even I think fixed right now. Yeah. But one thing about Bird, like when you played those in the last group game, I know it's a dead roll, but after the match, they seemed their attitude was exceptional after the game. They're going around kind of like this, you know, drive on, like don't fucking get out. Like they looked to be in the zone kind of way. Yeah. So kind of disappointed to see him lose there last weekend. Like it just didn't work. Like even they looked like a team, they'll stay up. Not kind of way. They had that kind of feeling about like, what someone said in Premier View or whatever, was something like, no team is too good not to go down. And you'd say, Kevin, when you fall, you fucking tumble. Like it goes through the whole club.
Yeah, and Tracy's in that game, you know, they know they bounced around intermediate for long time before getting up, and you know, that's their second. We beat them after a war last year in the relegation final, and you know, it's again, wasn't that game came down to the last puck of the game, did a 21-yard free to win the game. So, yes, there'll be nothing in any of these relegation games again.
Yeah, no, I think as we said last week, and the relegation games have been so tight, they've been so hard to call. So that's it on the games and the previews for this week, lads. Is there anything else in the GA world you want to have a chat about? Get off your chest. No, you don't want to go fighting over the game the weekend, or we can save that for next week.
We save that for next week.
We'll bend the knee again as usual. Sure, Sarsfields are incredible club, you know. Great to...
Yeah, great team, being in position, is it, Kevin?
but I'm sure
all the superlatives are getting out.
According to Sean, Kevin, you didn't play the Sarsfields last weekend. It was a total new club that had nothing to do with the Sarsfields or Door to Soul. So I mean,
Sarsfields, oh, is it or?
Yeah, well, yeah. This new third club that has appeared in Turles and you know just happens to have all the Door to Soul.
Yeah, they're called
all
the
players can choose who they want to play with, you know, as well. So.
Very good. So look, that's all we have time for this week. Sean and Kevin, thanks for joining me on the Premier View. And we look forward to the quarterfinals this weekend. Have a look, lads, if any of you there are listening at the weekend pass, which is available from Tipperary.ga.ie. It's exceptional value for all the games that are going on at the weekend. And until next week, till the dawn.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.